Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will come to order this day, Tuesday, February the 3rd, 2015. Be a good time for anybody who has a cell phone or other device. You turn it on silent, not to disrupt every other person in here. If you'll all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hope everybody enjoyed the Super Bowl on Sunday. Let's see here, starting off this morning, it's noticeable that the Vice Chairman Gilman is absent this morning. Clerk make notice, he had to attend to a family matter. So at this time, County Manager, do we have any additions, corrections, or omissions we need to make to today's agenda?
No additions or corrections, but several items to be continued, Mr. Chairman. We'd like to continue item 4, approval of the minutes. There have been a few questions on accuracy, and Vanessa's going back and double-checking those. And stay tuned, we're continuing more than we're hearing in many cases. I'll let Mr. Morris handle the continuances of items 11 and 12 as they come up in the agenda. We would like to continue items 15 and 16. These are to zone the boundary line adjustment areas for Tribe, and we'd like to continue those specific to 10 a.m. on the first meeting in March, which would be March the 3rd at 10 a.m. here at the courthouse. Those would be items 15 and 16. And we also need to continue item number 18 upon the advice of counsel in that it does involve a business holding of one of the members of the Board of Commission.
So we continue that until February the 17th?
That would be correct. Continue it at 17th, 10 a.m. Here again in the district courtroom in the courthouse.
Just number 18?
Just number 18. That's on there.
15 and 16 will go to March the 3rd.
Right.
Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm looking for a motion to continue these items, items 4, 15, 16, and 18.
I'll make a motion to continue item 4, 15, and 16.
And 18. And
18.
Okay. To those respective dates. Okay. I'll second your motion. Been moved and seconded to continue those items. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries. All right, moving along now, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, because we've continued the minutes. All right. We'll move on to the consent agenda now. At this time, looking... is there any discussion on today's consent agenda? Hearing none, I'll call for the motion.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
All right. I'll second that. Been moved and seconded to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And the motion carries. Moving along now to item number 8. This is discussion only. There's no action. There's no public comment. This is committee and staff reports. This was going to include the quarterly financial updates, but we're not going to hear the quarterly financial updates today.
That is correct. Mr. Gallagher is ill.
The comptroller is out today. He's ill, so he won't be giving that report today. So, anyway, we'll do the rest of the staff here. Start with Denny. You have something from tourism today?
On the press.
All right.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Thank you. Just that there is a handout is our official 2015 event calendar. It lists, it's a different look this year. It's a trifold. with broke out pretty much by month, the events going on in Virginia City. And then on the back would be contact information and parades listed separately. So just kind of a different feel, different look on of the guideline of what we have coming. There are some other events, obviously, that aren't on there, but they do trickle in throughout the year after we go to press or go to print on that particular thing. And to bring you up to speed on a couple of things, the Gold Hill Depot, we have reached an agreement with Mercedes De La Garza, I believe is her last name, on being a project manager. We're going to go out to bid and for contractors to submit their estimates on bringing that facility up to speed where we can rent it out and have large-scale functions there. We do have a couple of events planned for the first part of the summer, which will meet our deadline to have this project completed, which should be about the 1st of June. Also, the Black and Howe building, we are we'll probably agendize that over the next couple months to just for discussion at the VCTC to talk about potential ideas and thoughts going forward. We are doing some small maintenance on it to clean up the property, to make it safe and secure, clean up some boardwalk issues, that type of stuff, and then also gather information for long-term planning, whether with demolition or possibly archaeological dig may come into fact or come into play, something we can kind of promote. And really just starting to lay out our budget for this next fiscal year. So that's about it.
Great. Any questions? Any questions, Jack? Okay. All right. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Danny.
All right. Community Services, Sherry, do you have some report today?
Good morning, Sherry Nevin for the record. Just to let you know, we've got radon test kits available here at the library in Virginia City through the 28th of February. So if you didn't get one last week, or not last week, but 2 weeks ago when they were here, stop on by. Those are free of charge through February 28th. We also held the Health Center open house 2 weeks ago. It was well attended, and we're pretty much up and running down there. Community Chest has some of their counselors, case managers, and, of course, the community health nurses are there on Wednesdays. And at this time, we are in the planning stages for the free dump days, which will occur in Virginia City sometime the 1st of May, around the 1st of May, and then several weekends at the Lockwood landfill. So that's all I have for today.
Great. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
April, do you have a report today? Bray County Senior Center?
Good morning. I have been busy working on my budget and hope to have it completed by Thursday. We're working on our Valentine's Day fundraiser right now. We're making homemade candy and we sell it in a heart-shaped box. We did this last year and that was our first year to do it. And we made about $500 last year. And so we sell the box for $15. So if anybody wants to buy the candy, they just call the senior center and put in a request, and we'll have it done the Friday before Valentine's Day. So just call the senior center, 847-0957, or they can call me, 690-3693. And we can either deliver it or you can come by and pick it up. And that was a good little fundraiser for us last year. We set up a emergency fund for our seniors, and we used that money in case, you know, they needed something for their cars or they needed a lifeline or anything, you know, sprung up and they didn't have the money for it. So that was a good thing to do. And I brought some of our menus give to you guys, so I know a couple of you get to come down sometimes, but I don't know if you really get to see our menus. We really have made a lot of changes in our menus this year. We stopped using Sysco Foods and started shopping and getting a lot of fresh produce. We don't have the preservatives that we used to have in our foods. So everything is really a lot better for our seniors. So I'm excited about that. That's all for today.
How's your new kitchen working out?
Oh my God, that is so awesome. The new stove is so cool. I can't even begin to tell you. It's beautiful and it works so good. One of the ovens would keep going out. So we never really could use that oven because we just couldn't depend on it. I mean, we could kind of use it, but we'd have to shift the stuff over into the other oven once the stuff in that oven was done. And the new refrigerator is really cool because it's a lot deeper than the other one was, so we can actually put the big pans in that side. So everything, and it just looks so nice, and everybody was so helpful. It's just wonderful. And I really want to tell you the Silver Barons Motorcycle Club, they have come to the rescue for us in the last couple of years with our homebound. At Christmas time, they give us all the baskets for our homebound seniors, and they helped us move the stove and the refrigerator this year, too, and they helped move the stuff in, and they've just been great, too, so they get a little kudos on this, too.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And I might add that we continue to post the menu on the Story County, on the front page of the Story County website, although it looks right now like we're still doing January, so either we
have... Yeah, well, that's my fault.
Okay,
there.
Okay.
Great. Thank you, April.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I'll bring her down with me, April.
Okay.
Austin, is it from planning today? No, I don't. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Just a few things going on to provide you an update. We are in the middle of our benefits enrollment program for our employees' health insurance. So we're working through that process. And so far, based on national trends, not necessarily because of our own experiences, at least one of the carriers is coming back with increases. So our negotiations back and forth and a little bit of drawing lines of where things we find acceptable are being drawn. And we don't want increases to our premiums. We don't feel that's necessary. We don't feel that's appropriate. We have a very good and very positive experience rating for our employees and our retirees. We're well below what the average is as far as claims and usage of our insurance program. So there will be a substantial amount of discussions on that type of matter and making sure that our premiums stay relatively the same and that we hopefully don't lose benefits. There's five or six different approaches or more that can be done as far as changing the plan around and restructuring, but that's what we're doing in that process. I am working with our employees and a benefits committee. We've chosen these people, just various employees that use the programs, that know the programs pretty well, and we're going to hear what they have to say, things that they like about the plan, things they don't like about the plans, experiences they had, everything from billing to the usage of the providers themselves. So that committee will be convening four or five times over the next month, and I'll take that information along with a survey that we're doing also with our employees, an online survey, and taking that information to our carriers and using those numbers to figure out, okay, if we need to kind of negotiate or work around an item for increasing in premiums, where can we take a hit maybe in provisions for service that employees feel as acceptable or areas that they don't as, you know, absolutely sacred to their services. So we'll be doing that between now and May 1st, technically, when we have our new plan, but really between now and the middle of March will be the time when most of this work occurs. the master plan workshop. I like to remind our media and our people that are attending, as well as this board, this Thursday at the Virginia City Tourism Center, we're going to have our next master plan workshop. And the reason we're holding it down there is it provides a little bit more of a roundtable type of environment, and we feel that the public that attend, as well as the planning commissioners themselves, can discuss a little bit more freely and be open as opposed to more of a formal setting. So we're going to go down there, and we're going to talk about housing, we're going to talk about transportation, and other matters pertaining to the master plan. As I've stated, I'm targeting August, maybe September, for completion of a draft, and this year for completion of the entire master plan in order to meet up with our housing moratorium that's in place and get our new master plan written and out. Just part of the master plan and part of our zoning update that's also going to be heard at the Thursday meeting is we're looking at our utility corridors per NRS, establishing these throughout the county. Utility corridors are essentially areas on a map in the county where NV Energy could put in high voltage utility transmission lines like the 375s, the big ones, and not require a special use permit. The NRS was written that came into effect earlier this year that allowed counties to create corridors where no special use permit would be required for these high voltage transmission lines, and at the same time, though, allows the county to more strictly regulate these types of uses in other parts of the county. Whereas before, if the utility company was to go through a place that maybe the county doesn't agree with, there was some question on what preempts the county and what power the county really has in establishing a special use permit requirement, for example. So we'll be working on that, and hopefully we'll have something to this board for approval in the next 30 to 60 days for review. And lastly, just as a little bit of an update on the parking lot next door, Far West Engineering has given us some proposals. These are tentative at this point, and there are three of them. There's a $700,000 one, there's about a $250,000 one, and about a $190,000 option. And each of them have different variations as far as what the wall looks like, how many parking spaces there are. And Desi, who's been taking lead on this, and Pat and I are collaborating on kind of looking at these approach. And I think Pat has a few things he wanted to bring up on this as well.
I thought you said Pat.
I'll just cover it in my staff report.
Okay.
Commissioner McGriffin.
Any questions?
Well, there's kind of a collage of questions here that are all intertwined. At some time, Patrick was being rezoned for residential, and it expired. The time expired on that? Is that?
That's been Painted Rock.
Oh, Painted Rock, okay.
That's correct, and go ahead if you want me to explain it.
Are we going to revisit that and maybe reopen that? Because, and the reason why I'm asking this is because Sunny Hills is trying to move in, to, you know, and the Garrett, I think is his name, the attorney for them, has gone back to the legislature. He's trying to find a way around the commissioners. Commissioners have the say now to whether to move the county line or not. Of course, that depends on the feedback from the citizens, but they're going to come at us saying that, well, Story County, because Tesla really stirred a can of worms here, or a beehive to speak of, is they're complaining that we're building businesses, collecting sales and property taxes, but we don't have the burden of residential. And residential is a burden. It's a burden to the county, and so that's going to be their. I've gotten the feedback. That's going to be their primary cause for trying to overrule the commission.
I'll go ahead and discuss this a little bit. There's kind of a few spokes to this. We'll start with the Sunny Hills project. Not Sunny Hills, the Painted Rock project. If anybody in this room is not familiar, in 2006, the Planning Commission and the Board approved a subdivision of approximately 3,500 homes out there at Painted Rock, which is just northeast of Tri-Center along the Truckee River corridor, but more on the bluff of the mountains, not necessarily down by the river. That process had gone through and the developer never acted on it. They didn't. The economy took a dump. Things changed. And so per our zoning ordinance, after 3 years, the whole thing expired and it just stays as it is. So it's forestry zoned at the moment. So one of our findings at the time were for supporting that was our current master plan that we're under does designate potentially that area as potential for residential development. And it discusses very briefly that area as potentially being an area for that kind of use. Going back to that now, in the master plan updates and in the zoning updates, I'm going to talk about the master plan first, and then I'll briefly touch on what we did with zoning already. The master plan currently says that area is potential for residential. Then we're going to say, okay, what does the community want? What is right for that area? What's right for the industrial center? Not because of Tesla, but just because of our overall growth patterns, as well as what we're expecting to occur in the next 10 to 20-year period. And what are we looking at for that area? And because it was approved before and because it's part of our existing master plan, then we're understanding there is a potential for that area to be for that kind of a use in the future. We're not designing how it will look at this point. We're not designing exactly what type of development it would be. But through the master plan process, we're working in our community workshops and making that area potential for the housing center that would serve Tri-Center. That would be an area that would be potentially for mixed-use development. It would be for medium, high-level, and different strata of income housing, as well as it would include components. We would like it to include components of residential, commercial, and industrial uses. Going back to zoning just a little bit, we had approved in 2012 our new planned unit development zone, and that is any type of a large-scale subdivision of housing. It requires that whenever you build a subdivision, that it has to have a light industrial component and it has to have a commercial component. So when you build your houses, you're not just filling up a neighborhood full of houses that those people living there are going to continue to impact the region. They're going to shop where they live and they're going to do potentially work where they live, even in light industry, things like office spaces, things like that. And so we'd like to potentially tie that into the master plan as well, not just in zoning, to say, we understand this area may be potential for residential, but this is the kind of residential we would like to see. But what's very important in our new master plan update is to understand what our current plan does not want and what the people in the county do not want and what this board doesn't want. And that's going to be allowing housing to occur in any place of the county just because. We need it to be tied to objectives and goals in the industrial park and the specific impacts to the region as well as impacts to the county. And we need to make sure that that housing pays for itself and it's fiscally responsible for the county. So that's what the moratorium is in place for, is to stop any residential development from occurring until we get the master plan done. And then when that's finished, then if a developer wants to come forth with a plan, we can assess that and say, this is a good area for housing. The kind of housing you're proposing is good. And this is the reason why, and these are the findings, as opposed to another development that's in a place in the county that doesn't make any sense and causes more impacts to the county than good. I'm going to go to that second item. I know I'm being probably more wordy than I normally am, but there's a few pieces to this entire picture of what's occurring and going to Tesla and impacts like it. I'm going to meetings for Reno and Sparks and Tumwa, and Desi I sent out to Churchill County. They're having a master plan community workshop. I wasn't able to attend that meeting, unfortunately, but we're hearing a lot of the neighbors saying, Tesla is going to cause undue impacts to our counties. We need to have 10, 20 buses going out to try it. We need to rebuild the spaghetti bowl. We need to build more schools, these types of things. And what our message is to these organizations is we're open to understanding impacts. We want to be responsible in the region, and we're working and collaborating with our regional partners, and many of them are working and collaborating with us. Some of them aren't, and some of them are failing to assess their existing housing inventory. Washoe County, as I understand, is 30,000 empty units right now that are available to be built or filled that are approved already. They're already done. They're already approved. They're already ready for residential development. Some of these organizations aren't bringing that up. And then when they do bring it up, they'll go to Story County and say, well, Washoe County has 30,000 units, but Story County has, and they put lines straight across the chart showing that we don't have a single housing unit available in Story County. And they've never contacted me or our staff or anybody on our team to say, how many residential lots do you have in Virginia City and Lockwood and even Painted Rock today and Mark Twain? They don't ask. How many units do you have that are existing that are multifamily and single family that are empty? They don't ask. So I think it's important that we work very closely with our neighbors to let them know and make sure that they're assessing the region's needs appropriately and not just looking at Story County's got all this industry and no housing, because that's not true.
No, I agree, but that's what's out there.
Exactly.
You and I are both hearing it.
Sure is.
Different sources. Yeah. Thank you. I knew you would explain that. We've already discussed it in this week. Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you.
I have one question, though. In your preliminary master plan, do you have housing kind of anticipated for out there?
So far, as a draft, yes. In fact, it's online right now. Anybody can go to our website and take a look at the draft and emphasize draft that there's things in there that need to be, you know, redone. And that whole thing may go out the window if the community says we don't like it. But, yes, I have written a draft to put together. It really addresses the whole Painted Rock community and what that area might be, as well as the challenges with access and the TCID canal and all kinds of other matters. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Community chest. Ms. Abercrombie, you have something to say?
Good morning, gentlemen. Ms. Langer. Pam Abercrombie, community chest. Sean Griffin had to go to Tonopah today. We have our Classroom on Wheels program out there now. And so he asked me to come and give you a brief update on community chess. Our Night to Imagine is now scheduled for April 10th. We have Susie Bogus coming. She's a country star. She's won numerous awards in the past year. She's a kind of a country rock, Indigo Girls, Linda Ronstadt style. That's what I was told. And in addition, we have launched our Healthy Families Nevada program. That's where I've been the last 6 months. It's putting this evidence-based model program together so that we can launch it. It's an evidence-based program designed to help overburden families with new babies and prenatal women as well. It's family-centered and strength-based. So we're reaching out to Story County and then in partnership with Lyon County. So we're trying to get women into the program and help to reduce child abuse and adverse childhood experiences. And then also, Sean wanted to make mention that they're making headway on the five-year plan for the library. Once that's in place, they'll be eligible for some grants. And Sean also wanted to thank the commissioners and staff and the public for stopping by at the open house for the health services hub. And he said it was a great success. So thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Sheriff.
Just quickly, a couple of times I've been up here and discussed an interlocal agreement between the Department of Agriculture and horse advocacy groups regarding the care and maintenance of our wild horses. As of yesterday, hopefully I don't jinx it, it looks like this is all but a done deal. It sounds like they've just about got everything hammered out on it, which is going to allow much more responsiveness to help keep those horses out of town and off the road and better safety, and that would start with birth control measures and stuff like that too, so minimize and start actually seeing some control of the horses that everybody loves or hate, depending on which side of the fence you're on. One other thing, for those who haven't seen it yet, the Sheriff's Office just put out its first newsletter. I think it's on the county website. It's on several different sites here and there. If there's anybody who would like to be specifically receive a copy of it, if you'll contact me, I'll see that your email gets added to the mailing list. The plan is to get that out monthly, give little safety tips and just a little bit more knowledge about what's going on in the Sheriff's Office. So.
In reference to the horses, Sheriff, if there is an incident where the town is being overrun with horses, are you going to be the go-to guy? Or are you going to be the guy we call when we have an issue instead of Department of Agriculture? Or?
Yes, you would still call the sheriff's office either way. There's multiple levels to the contract. Something that's an immediate public safety issue, it would still go directly to the sheriff's office, and Department of Agriculture may come in and grab some horses and get them removed, stuff like that. The purpose of the interlocal agreement with the advocacy groups is hopefully to minimize those issues as they get into the whole birth control measures and whatnot. There's some diversionary feeding allowed that will prevent the animals from coming into town, or else if they're just on the edges, we can draw them back out. There's a number of positives in there, but as far as public safety goes, yes, I would still come to the sheriff's office and involve the Department of Agriculture.
Very good. Let's see where
you're at. Is this you said you had an agreement, there was an agreement. Is this between Story County and the Department of Agriculture?
No, I've just been involved in helping try to facilitate it. This is something that was actually started a couple of years ago in the last legislative session. Some enabling legislation was made, and it's actually between the Department of Agriculture and an advocacy group that's actually in California. But they are working with the local advocacy groups, VRPA, the folks down in Lyon County, some folks in Washoe County, and it specifically involves the horses of the Virginia range. So it's like the contract will be with California, but then sublet to our locals. So there's an immediate boots on the ground that will help minimize some of the issues with horses.
Well, it looks like the Department of Transportation is getting involved in this as well. They're going to build a four-mile fence along Highway 50 to try to keep horses off the highway down in that neighborhood.
I've heard that that's something that they're working on or looking at, but I don't know if it's been approved or authorized or started or anything.
Probably need to look at USA Parkway, too.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Thank you, Sheriff. Am I missing any other staffers? Anybody else? Okay, we'll move along now to item number 9.
Before you do, could I maybe speak?
Oh. Actually, okay. Yeah, you could.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner McGuffey, it's interesting in Sunny Hills that an argument would be mounted that Story County doesn't allow residential, so let's move this chunk of Story County into Washoe County. I think that's a fairly disingenuous argument. However, I would also say Mr. Borden is a paid lobbyist, paid to make Sunny Hills happen, and he is very influential in the halls of the legislature. I've alerted Bum Hess, our government affairs director, as well as Walker and Associates to keep an eye out on all bills. And then I personally chatted with Jim Wheeler on Friday when we were at that meeting together, Mr. McGuffey, and I hope we're on as much as we can, but keep in mind what happens in the legislature is not subject to open meeting whatsoever, and there are a lot of backroom deals. The phenomena that Austin addressed, the Tesla effect, if you will, is sometimes a frustrating one. I can attest to everything he said and probably even more. The most common portfolio that I carry with me to meetings, I actually have two flip charts. One has a big goose egg on it, and it says no taxes, 10 years. Flip it over on the other side, and it's got a big goose egg, and it says no sales taxes, 20 years. In a region that had some of the highest unemployment in the nation for many years, you know, we finally begin to make things happen. And I attended an EDON meeting a while back that I found was fascinating. If you take the Tesla jobs, a full build-out in probably 4 years, we think, 6,500 jobs. Add to that about 12,500 indirect jobs that Tesla may cause, you know, another car dealership or the expansions in restaurants or stores or whatever, you know, that good retail commerce happens. That's 17,000 jobs. EDON, the Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada, has a process that they go through and took us through recently and actually made it fairly public. They hesitated for a while because they thought the number was frightening, but they take all the when we work with prospects on the economic development
angle, like the one that Dean and Gary and Fritz and I flew down to see in Phoenix last week. If we get them to visit, there's a 70-plus percent close ratio once they've been here and they've seen the product, regardless of whether it's Tri, Stead, Fernley, wherever they're looking to site. But a 70%, so Tesla or Edon, excuse me, takes the number of actual visits that have occurred, apply a 70% factor to that, and multiply the employees. And in the next 5 years, is currently estimated with the cycle that we're on, having nothing to do with Tesla, I have to back into this number, that number will be close to 33,000 additional jobs, so 50,000 jobs regionally, of which 17 can be directly or indirectly attributed to Tesla, but that still leaves 33 out there that have nothing to do with us. So.
Right, and I agree with that. And you know, some of these complaints that we've heard kind of in the shadows is unfounded as well. There are, Reno is constantly getting new businesses because there's lots of companies that don't want to go way out to Tri. And, you know, I've been to several Edon welcome parties to speak up, to welcome these new companies that are, you know, moving into Reno and Spark. So I don't understand the whining to speak up.
Relative to the parking lot, I think Austin gave you a very good summation. I really don't have much to add at this stage. We're looking at different designs, as he mentioned, and applying a price per parking space analysis to it as well. Even though we're not going to charge for parking, certainly I don't want that to be, you know, even thought of. But we're trying to take a look at the $190,000 option, which is probably not the one we're definitely going to nail, as opposed to the $700,000 one, which is also probably not the one we're going to nail at this stage. How many spaces do you gain, and then what's the cost of that? It's pretty simple math. So we're looking at that. Immediately after the last commission meeting, Commissioner Gilman and myself went down, and with Sheriff Antonoro and Sergeant Dosen, we did the annual jail inspection. Actually, NRS requires a quarterly check, but the sheriff and I usually accomplish that just with a phone call. How's it going? What you doing? But this is the full, I think, four-page, we use a pool, insurance pool checklist, that assesses their training, their conditions, everything. And I'm pleased to say that in everybody's opinion, but certainly independently of the jail or the sheriff's office, both Commissioner Gilman and I felt the jail passed with flying colors. There are a couple of needs, certainly not issues and certainly not safety issues that were discussed that have some fiscal impact. One of those was approved yesterday by the comptroller and myself to implement immediately. This deals with quality training and whatnot. It's not the training is not deficient. This is just a better way to document the training. The other one will be dealing with the heating and air conditioning ventilation systems, so that are approaching 25 years old. So, great inspection, great operation. Tesla, for whatever it may be of interest to anybody, Senate Bill 1, I think I've reported on this practically every meeting, Senate Bill 1 allows negotiations to be made on business licensing and permitting fees, as well as offset for services under the government services agreement or general services agreement. Those negotiations continue. I want to thank Mr. Morris, who together with Bill Maddox, working gratis, and myself are conducting the negotiations on behalf of the county, and now Chairman McBride has agreed to sit in as well, which has proved very beneficial so far in our phone conversation. So we have another meeting scheduled for later this week. For those of you that ever make it out to Tri, and I know the commissioners do, so I'm addressing this more generally, I encourage you to stop by our government complex on Peru, 1705 Peru Drive. It's kind of got new life. We still haven't gotten to a point where we can staff the fire station there, although we desperately want to. we're working on that. But we're now making a lot of good things happen. We've taken some empty space that will be utilized someday down the road, and we're leasing for no dollar, no monetary exchange, to Tesla's contractor, Yates and Sons, a small section of that. And then the new data center that has announced and is siting in our county, Switch, will be going into a larger chunk of that. Switch is making some, they've made commitments to make some very cool tenant improvements. They'll stay with the property when they leave, probably in about a year when their first building is up and running. They're also, in the meantime, they need our building actually to get high-speed internet, which is the business they're in, to our building, so that it, then it can be ultimately relayed to their new site. It's gonna give us a tremendous what's in it for us in terms of blazing internet speeds in that building. And they're a great company to work with. We'll meet with them tomorrow as well. So, and lastly, and I got an email while we were talking, we have just probably as of this morning migrated our website. The good news is we're already getting very good reviews on it's clean, it's crisp, it's much easier to navigate. The website of yesterday was actually constructed, to the best of my knowledge, probably in about 2002 or 3, and it was then using some dated platform as far as its programming and everything, and it got more and more clunky. So we have switched over. I'm looking at it right now, and it looks great. But I will also tell you, when you migrate a whole website, there's going to be glitches. The department heads will get an email from me that says, you now have the keys to your website, so please make sure that you use it to the best you can. Our goal is on the home page, I believe, or on the government page, we have public documents. We'll be loading those in. They're not loaded in yet, but our intent is to upload, front load as much of our public documents as we can to make those available, from audits to you name it. So it's up. Take a look at it. I am told that you might get a better experience for the moment using Chrome as opposed to Internet Explorer. And again, it does have some features that we're tweaking, the automatic sizing, so it's different on a PC than it is on a tablet than it is on a smartphone, but we're working through those. So check it out. That's
great.
It.
Take that. DA Langer?
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Special Counsel Morris?
Nothing. Thank you.
Madam Clerk? Okay. All right, then. We're going to move along now to item number 9. This is board comment. Commissioner McGuffey?
I apologize to everyone for having to leave our last meeting a little early. It was a meeting we had set up long ago. This is in relation to our Comstock Classics Car Club that I'm a vice president of, and we were invited by Hot August Nights to participate with them in their calendar of car shows and parades. And they want to be involved with our car show. They think Virginia City is an awesome place, and they want to jump in and help us. And so, our first car show, we had 170 cars last year. But it was we only got about halfway there because it clashed with Hot August Nights. So this year's show will be, again, moved back a week before Hot August Nights. And Hot August Nights believes they can send us 300 to 600 cars. So you're going to see it's going to kind of turn into a thunder on the mountain with classic cars. So we're kind of excited about that. It'll be good for everybody. I'm also in touch with Tesla. I'm trying to get in touch with them. I have been in touch in the past, but I would like them to bring one or two of their cars to the show as well. So it's all for the good of the county. I will be attending the NACO conference in Washington, D.C. on the 20th through the 25th, and I did ask the sheriff about this agreement or arrangements with the Department of Ag, which he doesn't seem to be there, but as far as the wild horses, I do have the opportunity to talk to the top guys there at the Department of Ag. If anybody would like a question answered, please contact me, and I'll ask that question when I get there.
Great. Thanks, Jack. Excuse me. Not right now. No. Thank you. Right on the shirt tails of Jack's mention of the other counties, wondering what we're going to do about housing and how the impacts are. For approximately the last 100 years after since the gold and silver mines have gone bust on the Comstock, all of the payroll dollars collected by Story County residents have been spent in our neighboring counties. Find building materials to build our homes, find our automobiles, all of our durable goods, refrigerators, stoves, and the whatnot, all of our groceries, movie theaters. So pretty much our surrounding counties have benefited enormously from the payroll of Story County residents for 100 years. And now that Story County is finally moving up and starting to get a little recognition, and we can look forward to some tax revenues in the future, not currently, as Mr. Witness pointed out, with the tax revenues, we don't get anything for 10 and 20 years from one of our new companies. I don't think that they've got anything to complain about in the neighboring counties, because they've gotten the lion's share of everything from Story County residents for the last 100 years. So with that being said, we're going to move on, but people have to take it into perspective sometimes that just because the little kid on the block's finally got a new bicycle, everybody else wants to ride it, you know?
A lot of them think we're loaded with money right now. We're still operating on the same budget we've had for years.
That's right. Okay, moving along now to item number 10. This is discussion only. Discussion and direction to staff regarding legislation or legislative issues proposed by legislators or by other entities permitted by the Nevada State Legislature to submit bill draft requests or such legislative issues as may be deemed by the chairman or the board to be of critical significance to Story County.
Chairman, I'll take lead on this and defer this time also to Commissioner McGuffey. This was recommended language provided to us by our lobbyist, Walker & Associates. Washoe County uses this language. And Mary's recommendation to her four counties, Lyon, Carson, Story, and Douglas, was to place a similar item on here. In the past, I've only discussed generic legislation with you, usually via the staff reports and board reports. But this gives us the opportunity to talk generically, if you will, about bills. If we know in advance of specific bills that we will be asking for a firm vote of the board, we did this last session on Sunny Hills where we actually placed it on the agenda and said direct staff to oppose, to be neutral, to do whatever. If we have enough advance notice, this item will be modified to specify any of those bills. But typically, we don't know these until just before the agenda is published until after the agenda is published. For instance, Commissioner McGuffey and I went to about a two-hour meeting on Friday with the other four counties, and Senator Settlemyer and Assembly folks, P.K. O'Neill, Robin Titus, and Jim Wheeler were all in attendance, and we discussed a lot of bills. I will tell you right now the sense I got, and again, I'll be interested in hearing Jack's as well. The sense I got is they only kicked off yesterday, so it's way early in the game. There will be some interesting politics in the halls this session with the Republican majority and the Republican governor, but I think there is also a sense of realism. Oddly enough, there was very little discussion, particularly with at least one very strong conservative assemblyman being there, about the governor's business license fee and the education of support and stuff like that. We'll be focusing during this particular time on bills like NACO's got a bill out for to increase home rule from a functional standpoint only, not from fiscal. They're not telling us that as a local jurisdiction we can go out and jack up fees and taxes and whatnot any more than what current statute allows. And that's a good thing, in my opinion. But functional home rule does allow us to do some things that we might not be able to do otherwise. There really are no specific bills that come to mind from that meeting on Friday that I would bring to your attention now. I would just tell you stay tuned for things like Jack alerted us to with Eric trying to amend the bill. That's where it gets really interesting. The pre-filed bills
are beginning to flow out now. There's one that I haven't read the language on yet, but we've discussed, and I just need to see what the dollar limit was amended to it. But there's a proposal out there to significantly raise the threshold for prevailing wage public works projects. That could be beneficial to us specifically, because oftentimes we can get work done a little better, a lot faster, and definitely more cost-effectively if it's not subject to prevailing wage and all the certifications that have to go with that. We're doing that with the sewer plant right now. We would have had to have done that one anyway under any size cap. But there are really no bills of note that I really have to bring to your attention yet. But in the future, you will see this ongoing as the session kicks into gear.
Exactly. Jack?
I agree. Seem like most of the bills are ideas right now. They're nothing carved in stone, and they're still working on wording. It's very preliminary right at this point.
Yeah, I think it's when you get close to the end of the session, you have to be careful when they start putting amendments on these that nobody reads, and they pass them. And then after they pass the bill, now you find out how you're being affected by it, mostly financially.
And to be truthful with you, we're already at that stage. The deadline now for any BDRs, you won't be seeing any BDRs coming in from us or from any of the folks that were in the room last Friday. It will be coming strictly from leadership, and they do have a lot of power and a lot of latitude. So the vehicle that they will use will be, if, for instance, there was some talk about PERS, that I'll be working with Assemblyman Kerner on. There is a, and there will be some interest in collective bargaining as well that was discussed at length, and we'll see how effective that could really be pulled off. But now the vehicle pretty much is to take those initial place markers, if you will, placeholders or bills, and probably work them through the amendment process.
The one I found most intriguing was the PERS, where they want to protect the county. It's like, can't give raises if we don't have the money. Instead of raising everybody's taxes to cover the PERS raises, what do you want to put it?
Yeah. And NACO has, I think they get 10 BDRs, and I think they've used probably all 10.
Yeah.
A couple of them are ones that, you know, we'll bring to you and ask how you feel that we may not necessarily agree with, but I think they've moderated their stance on public lands. They're asking for reasonable amounts now instead of we want it all,
yeah.
Which will never have worked, in my opinion. And there's another bill out there that allows elected officials in times of financial stress to bypass their longevity on a year-over-year basis as a way of saving money. Sometimes that's an equity thing that we can do when we're having to work with our collective bargaining groups on either freezing salaries or lowering salaries. So.
Okay. Done? Any questions? Yeah. Okay. All right, moving along now to item number 11, discussion of possible action. Approve the second reading of Ordinance 14-261, an ordinance amending Story County Code Chapter 5.16, prostitution, to change the name to brothels, amending the procedure for revoking a license, and changing requirements on work cards and providing for other properly related matters. Mr. Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Board. Robert Morris for the record. As Mr. Witten said, I will be asking you to continue this matter and the one following it with the resolution, but I did want to make a progress report to let you know that we are working on it and making progress. Last Monday I received a comprehensive rewrite from Mr. Sweet and his firm, and I started by going through and putting in the changes they suggested that I agreed with or had no problem with. I worked at it for a while, and then I realized that with the impending agenda deadline that I wasn't going to get it done. And so rather than go forward with something that's not totally finished, I would ask the board to continue the matter. There are a couple of things that I think that can be resolved, a couple that I'm not sure will be. We've made a meeting for next Wednesday, February 11th, to discuss those. Again, we wouldn't be able to put anything on the agenda after that meeting, so I would be asking you to move this to March 3rd. And if you have any questions, I would ask that you open it up for public comment for anybody that expected to be able to talk today and would gladly hear any comments.
Sure. Okay. Is there anybody in here who would like to go ahead and talk on this matter? Is on the brothel license? On the brothel ordinance, Mr. Cater? Okay. Did you have a comment on the ordinance? Okay. All right. Thank you. Sheriff, did you want to weigh in on this?
No.
Okay. Anyone else? Any discussion on this?
And I might just add, so the record's clear, we would be continuing it to March 3rd at 10 a.m. here in the district courtroom.
Thank you, sir. For a motion to continue items 11 and 12, March the 3rd, 10 a.m. in this room?
I'll make a motion to move items 11 and 12 to March the 3rd.
I'll second the motion. Moved and seconded to move these items 11 and 12 to March the 3rd. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries. Okay, moving along now, item number 13, discussion of possible action, approval of the second reading of William Hill Race and Sportsbook. This is a business/gaming license application. Sheriff?
In this matter, we discussed it at the last meeting on the first reading. The applicant has passed all backgrounds. They're good as gold with gaming. Nothing at all that causes us concern, and we would recommend approval of the license.
Okay. Mr. Phillips.
Good morning, sir. Don't mind. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mark Joseph Phillips, a Virginia City resident, speaking to item number 13. It calls for the approval of second reading of William Hill Race and Sports Book. It appears that this is a business/gaming license. I'd like the record to reflect the physical address or addresses that this license would apply to. I understand that this may apply to a couple different physical locations. So in the spirit of clarity and clear and complete agenda item, I think we should, for the record, have the physical address or addresses read into the record.
Okay. Thank you. I believe in the first reading it was stipulated it was a Delta Saloon for this location.
That's correct. It's going to be just a kiosk that's located within the Delta.
That's right. And this is just an addition that location is already licensed for gaming. William Hill is simply the sports book company that puts in the kiosk. They put in a full book in large casinos and just a kiosk which is the size of a slot machine in smaller locations, such as the Delta.
Address, is there address?
I don't have the application in front of me, but it's the Delta.
It's South C Street. Any other discussion?
I can get that for
this?
You, Mark.
Anyone have any other discussion on this gaming license, second reading? Call for a motion.
On a motion to approve the second reading or a motion to approve the license?
Well, I think by essence of approving the second reading is approving the license.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the second reading of William Hill Race, the sportsbook business gaming license application.
I second your motion. All those.
Before you vote, just for the record, Mr. Chairman, the address listed for the Delta from the website is 18 South C Street, Virginia City.
Very good. It's been moved and seconded to approve the second reading of William Hill Race and Sportsbook. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries. Move along now to item number 14. This is a discussion of possible action, appointment of Board of Equalization member.
Mr. Chairman, I'll take this. We had a term ending and a vacancy declared on the County Board of Equalization, and it is our recommendation that you appoint Mr. Bill Lewis. Bill Lewis is a certified residential appraiser and a resident of the Virginia City Highlands.
Very good. Does anybody have any discussion on this appointment? Mr. Phillips.
Thanks again, Mr. Chairman. Once again, Mark Joseph Phillips, a Story County resident, speaking to item number 14, appointment of Board of Equalization member. No resume in the packet. I don't know if there was any other applicants. Who on the current board is being replaced?
Yeah, I believe it's Doug Walling.
Doug Walling was replaced by Laura Kukuli.
You're referring to the Planning Commission. This is the County Board of Equalization.
Yeah, Laura's on. Oh, boy.
On the Board of Equalization, Laura Kukuli replaced Nick Fink.
Well, I thought, okay. I'll go back and check my records.
Yes.
Doug Walling's being replaced?
Yes.
This is a four-year term?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other discussion on the appointment of Bill Lewis? Is this one of your neighbors out there, Jack?
Yeah, he used to be on our architectural committee there
yeah.
for many years.
Very good. Very good. Okay. At this time, looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion for the appointment of Bill Lewis for the Board of Equalization.
I'll second your motion. Being moved and seconded, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries. Very good. Let me see. Next item up was number 15, and that has been continued till March the 3rd. Item number 16 has been continued till March the 3rd. Next item up after that is item number 17. This is discussion of possible action, the variance of 2014-023. It's by Karen James for a reduced rear yard setback of 5 feet from the required 20 feet rear yard setback for the placement of a proposed attached garage for the property located at 355 East Mill Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, APN 001-266-04. Mr. Osborne.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. This is a pretty simple matter. This is Karen James. She is down there at 355 Mill Street, and she would like to build a garage in her backyard that is attached to her house, so it would be an attached structure. The backyard isn't quite big enough to put in a garage and meet the 20-foot required rear setback. So really, as staff, we went down there, took a look at the site, and trying to see does Karen's proposal for variance meet the purpose and intent of the code, and meaning that it doesn't cause adverse impacts to neighbors, it doesn't cause fire hazards, things like that. And really, when you look at the property as well, it's on a corner lot, and theoretically, she could have turned her house facing into O Street instead of Mill Street, and then by doing so, she would have been able to build this garage in her side yard instead of her backyard and would have been able to meet an 8-foot setback. So Karen has asked for less than an 8-foot setback. Looking at the site, staff and myself have looked at this and said, well, to meet purpose and intent of the code, we would like to keep an 8-foot setback on that side there, which is technically a rear yard, but it could be a side yard, depending on how the house is configured. I'm not going to, Karen is here. She may want to discuss some of her plans as well. Staff does has a recommendation for an 8-foot setback, but Karen could discuss why she might want to go less than 8 and make a discussion at the meeting here. There was one public comment on this matter, a lady that lives across the street. Ironically, there's a very similar setback going on the other side of that other person's house, and that person has not provided any comment on that one. I'll let Karen explain anything if any questions come about that as well. So really, in essence here, all we're really doing is allowing the person to go ahead and build a two-car garage attached to her house in the rear yard, and then she'll be able to drive around the house and access the garage. We did vet this through the Planning Commission. Desi had provided a full presentation with aerials and all of those images that are in your staff report. And one of the items we discussed is there's a propane tank that's located at the site. And working with the building department staff and fire, they'll make some determinations on making sure that propane tank is placed so car won't run into it when backing out of the garage, and perhaps put some bollards or something around it to make sure it's safe. But the Planning Commission asked that we defer that to the Building Department and Fire Department for them to make a determination where and bollards and that. And our staff said that sound fine to us as long as it was safe and done appropriately. And we do have a recommendation for approval with an 8-foot setback. And like I said, the applicant is here if you'd like to ask any questions or if she does have any details she might want to provide as well.
This doesn't affect the neighbor that complained at all. That neighbor's across the street.
That is across the street, does not affect in any way. And in fact, I don't believe you'll be able to see this garage at all from that person's house.
The garage is on the opposite side of the house where that neighbor can't even see it.
Correct.
And the adjoining property there, that neighbor's okay with the...
Yeah, we did per NRS. We noticed 300 feet around the property. There was a guy about 300 feet away that just called and asked about both of the variances on today's agenda. I explained to him where they were in relation to his property, and he said, I'm fine with that.
So the entrance to the garage is on the rear of the house. You don't even see the garage.
No, you won't. You'll drive along the side of the house, which is about 15 feet or so, and then you swing right around in the backyard.
I like that because I don't like people highlighting their garage on the front of their house.
Why did we expand from 5 to 8?
The reason for that really is just staff has to take a position somewhere. And the question Mr. Whitten asked is why did we expand from 5 to 8? The applicant had asked for 5 feet originally. Fire's okay with 5. We talked to the fire chief. How are you feel with it? And he says that would be okay. That meets fire requirements. But planning does have an 8-foot side yard setback requirement. So we figured if this house was configured that way, there would normally be an 8-foot side yard setback. It meets more of the purpose and intent of the code. If this board decided to go otherwise, I don't see that there would be any safety or substantial impacts on the neighboring properties going less than 8 feet. But our recommendation is 8 feet.
I mean, I'm not voting, but it seems like this is not a standard lot in Virginia City. It's irregular shaped, and if we were going to make an exception for good grounds, this might be the case.
That is the case, and kind of funny because an irregular lot probably is a standard lot in Virginia City, which makes planning real fun and interesting. But really, when you look at where this garage is going, the subject area where the setback's going to be, there's about a 10 or 11-foot grade separation there, too. It's kind of on a hill. So anybody that were potentially to build on that side, they're going to be at a whole different area than really next to this. It wouldn't cause any view shed. There's nobody that this would block a view from. There wouldn't be car egress, anything like that, really, that you would be looking at. So if this board were to go less than 8 feet, there is a motion, and they're, in fact, structured for an alternative to go less than 8 feet.
Do you have any questions for the applicant, Commissioner McGuffey?
No, and I've taken a tour of the site, so I'm quite aware of what's going on there.
Well, you know... As the explanation has been made by Mr. Osborne, even though planning wants to take a position of 8 feet, because that's pretty much what they do,
Ms. James is asking for 5 feet. It doesn't look like she's imposing any problems with her neighbors, and I like the fact that she's making a financial contribution by the community by building a house and a garage. That I don't see a problem with.
I don't either. Yeah, especially with adjoining neighbors, not a problem at all. That, and to me, that would be the biggest issue. If the neighbor had issues with it, then yeah, we'd have to abide by the code there.
It would allow her to.
I don't see a problem with the 5 foot.
Okay. If this board wants to go that direction, I do have findings for the record, and then there's an alternative motion that's structured with an X that you could choose.
Before we go, there's any discussion from the audience on this? Hearing none, I'd like to hear the findings.
Okay. The findings are on page 9 of your staff report. I'll read them fairly quickly because they're just procedural. 6.1, motion for approval of the findings listed in the subsection are the minimum to be cited in an approval or approval with conditions. The following findings are evident with regard to impressed variance when the recommended conditions in section 7 are applied at a minimum, and approval of conditional approval must be based on these things. 6.1.1, that because of special circumstances applicable to the subject property, including size, shape, topography, and location of surroundings, the strict application of the zoning ordinance would deprive the subject property of privileges enjoyed by other properties in the vicinity under identical zoning classification. 6.1.2, the granting of the variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property rights of the applicant. 6.1.3, that the granting of the variance will not, under any circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect or materially to a material degree, the health or safety persons residing or working in the neighborhood of the subject property, and will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare, materially injurious, or to the property or improvements of the neighborhood of the subject property. 6.1.4, the proposed variance is in compliance with all federal, state, and county regulations, and 6.1.5, the proposed variance is in compliance with Story County Code 1703-140 variances and 1716 residential zone when all conditions of approval are met, and 6.1.6, the proposed variance is in compliance and supports the goals, objectives, and recommendations of the Story County Master Plan. The subject condition, or the motion that would be, is on page 11.
Austin?
Yes.
I don't think the commissioner's packets, the hard packets, have anything past page 7.
Really? So. Okay. What I would be...
Can I make a proposal? Would it be acceptable to take the motion as it's stated in here, mm-hmm, and just simply change 8 to 5?
Yep.
So if you go to your staff report, the front cover page for this one, where it lists on about the fourth line, variance number 2014-023 for a reduced rear yard setback for up to 8 feet. Just change it to 5.
Okay, after hearing the explanation by the planner, looking for approval after hearing the findings in this. Looking for approval for a 5 foot setback.
I'll make a motion that, in accordance with the recommendation by staff, the findings under section 6.1 of the staff report, and in compliance with all conditions of approval, but in conformance with the recommendation by the Planning Commission, Commissioner, move to approve with conditions variance number 2014-023 for a reduced rear yard setback for up to 5 feet from the required 20 feet rear yard setback for the placement of a proposed attached garage for a property located at 355 East Bell Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, APN number 001-26604.
Commissioner McGuffey, may I just ask that you amend what you said to be against the recommendation by the Planning Commission? It's technically the recommended 8. I think if I just said that and you accept it, it would be okay. You don't have to read the whole thing over again.
Okay. I'll strike the recommend my staff.
Mr. Chairman,
If there's yes. anybody that would like to read the full package, I would request that we take a break right now and provide that to not only the commission, but anybody in the audience.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to read the full packet? For the record, if you were to read the full packet, essentially the conditions, the board and power of the Planning Commission and the Planning Commission meeting would be material that's...
I believe I already read this one on the online packet that was the electronic that we got. It's just not in the hard copy.
Correct.
So
it doesn't look like it made it to the website.
No.
Are you good with us going forward with this?
I am.
Okay. So I will go ahead and second Commissioner McGuffey's motion. It's been moved and second to approve item 17, variance 2014-023. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Thank you, Ms. James. All right, next item up is item number 18, and we've continued that to February the 17th, 2015, 10 a.m. in this room. Next up is item number 19, discussion of possible action, variance 2014-034 by David and Linda Lindsay for a reduced year-round set, a rear yard setback of 10 feet from the required 20 feet rear yard setback for the placement of a proposed detached garage as part of a proposed single-family residence for the property located at 260 North O Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, APN 001-206-18 and 001-206-15. Mr. Osborne.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. This is a very similar situation. This is down at 260 North. I put A Street, but it's not. O Street. And so anyway, if you were to go down near, actually go from Karen Jane's house, and instead of turning right into her driveway, you turn left down O Street, drive down about 300 feet or so. There's a parcel there that faces right into a mine tailing, and the applicant is asked to do a very similar thing. He wants to put a garage that is attached to the building but is facing the back of the house. In other words, you would drive around the side of the house very similarly to the last application. Hide the garage, and but instead of the 20-foot requirement, they would like to encroach a little bit, going 10 feet from the back. There's probably about a 300-foot separation between their property and the top of the mine tailing that's behind their property, so the chances of somebody building a house there is zero. I don't feel this will be any impact to any abutting neighbors or any safety impacts or anything like that. And it's just a request to go from 20 feet to 10 feet on the rear setback.
May I ask a couple of questions?
Go right ahead.
First off, does the packet include pages beyond page 7, the full packet?
It should. The whole packet should be in there.
It would be a similar situation.
It's the same problem.
Yeah, so I think we should ask if anybody would like to see the full packet. We can take a recess because this is the same exact issue. I'll get to the bottom as to why it's happening, but it has to do with colored copies versus black copies.
I agree, Mr. Witten, and I believe the findings are on the pages that are not contained in the packet. So does anybody want us to take a break and provide the documentation?
And then the other question would be, is 10 feet what Mr. and Mrs. Lindsay asked for?
Yes.
Okay.
And the applicant is here, by the way, a representative of the applicant, if he chooses to speak.
Is staff recommending
approval of this?
They are.
As proposed.
Does anybody have any discussion on this? Does anybody want to read the packet? Hearing none, you want to read the findings for us?
Okay. The findings are on page 9 of the staff report.
Has the neighbors, I'm assuming the neighbors have been contacted, the owners of the vacant lots on each side?
Same thing, yes. We did a 300-foot notification on this property, and that gentleman that I discussed earlier that asked about what's going on with both of them, he happened to be right at the 300-foot mark on both of them. He asked, I explained it to him, and this is probably about 300 feet away from him. He was fine with it. And then the person that commented on the last variance did not comment on this variance. Okay, I'll go ahead and read the findings if you desire. The preamble, this is page 9, 6.1, motion for approval. The findings listed in this subsection are the minimum to be cited in an approval or approval with conditions. Following findings are evident with regard to requested variance, and the recommendation
recommended conditions in Section 7 are applied. At a minimum, the approval or condition approval must be based on these findings. 611, the granting of the variance necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property rights in the applicant. The granting of the variance will not, under the sub-circumstances of the particular use, adversely affect to a material degree the health, safety, or persons residing or working in the neighborhood of the subject property, and will not be material detrimental to the public welfare, materially injurious to persons or property or improvements in the neighborhood of the subject property. The proposed variance is in compliance with all federal, Nevada, state, and Story County regulations. The proposed variance is in compliance with Story County Code 1703-140 variances and 1716 residential 1 zone, which is the R1 residential zone, when all conditions of approval are met. And last, the proposed variance is in compliance with all with and supports the goals, objectives, and recommendations of the Story County Master Plan. And then the proposed motions are on page 11. If you don't have that particular motion, I'd be happy to read that verbatim, and then you could go ahead and adopt that motion. I'll go ahead and move forward. This is recommended motion 10.1. In accordance with the recommendations by the Planning Commission and staff, the findings under section 6.1 of the staff report, and in compliance with all conditions of approval by Commissioner, move to approve with conditions variance number 2014-034 for a reduced rear yard setback for up to 10 feet from the required 20 feet rear yard setback for the placement of a proposed attached garage as part of a proposed residence for a property located at 260 North O Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, APN 001-20618 and 001-20615.
All right. Looking for a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve with conditions variance number 2014-034 for a reduced rear yard setback for up to 10 feet from the required 20 feet rear yard setback for the placement of a proposed attached garage as part of a proposed residence for a property located at 260 North O Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada. APN 011-206-18 and 00-206-15.
I'll second your motion. Been moved and seconded to approve variance 2014-034. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Very good. Moving along now to item number 20. Possible action, licensing board, second readings.
Okay. The Business License Division is recommending approval of these items. It is A, Ahern, B, Nortec, C, Dan's, I'm not reading the whole thing, obviously, F, Highland, G, Lighting, H, Custom, I, Clayton, J, Dolger. Those are to be approved.
Could you go over that one more time for me, please?
Yep. The Business License Division recommends approval of A, B, C, F, G, H, I, and J. And just for this item, they are going to...
Was G recommended for approval?
That's correct. And the only things to be recommended for continuation will be D, Ionics, E, Rich Doss, and K, Harris Industrial Gases. So ABC, FGHIJ to be approved.
That being said, look for a motion for approval of those.
Okay, I'm sorry, Austin.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, I'll go ahead.
From D, let's go to start at D.
Okay, how about this? Let's we can do the continuations first, since there's less of them, if you like. So D, Ionics is to be continued. Rich Doss on E is to be continued. And then the very last one, K. Harris Industrial Gases, is to be continued.
Okay. Motion to continue D, E, and K.
I'll make a motion to continue D, E, and K.
Second your motion. Moved and seconded to continue D, E, and K. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And the motion carries. Next up, we'll go ahead and move to approve all of the existing ones that were not continued. A, B, C, F, G, H, I, J.
Correct.
I'll make a motion to approve E, B, C, F, G, H, I, J.
I'll second your motion. Been moved and second to approve those items. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. So would you look out and see if Mr. Cater's still out in the hallway?
He just walked down the stairs. He should be back up.
Okay.
They came to this once before.
I know. We'd probably go ahead and open it up. And let
okay. Moving along now to item number 21. This is public comment. We won't take any action on this. Ms. Dean.
Excuse me, Kay Dean, Virginia City Highlands. On the January 5th commission meeting this year, I made a presentation for Dave Thomas regarding the accounting report, or the financial statements, and there were four questions. Two were evidently answered according to Mr. Witten that day. One was answered in the consent agenda regarding the $2 million item. But the fourth question, still I'm waiting for an answer. And Chair McBride, you indicated that you requested the auditor and comptroller to submit responses to Mr. Thompson's two unanswered questions at the next commission meeting. I must have missed it. I didn't see that. So I'm re-requesting that I also get the information on the breakdown of the June 30, 2014 Park Fund, special revenue fund balance of $64,731 between Virginia City, Lockwood, Mark Twain, and the Highlands, so we can have an actual number. I'm particularly interested, obviously, in the Highlands Park Fund. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Mark, did you have your hand up? Come on up.
Thanks again, Mr. Chairman. Mark Joseph Phillips. Item number 21, public comment. First, in regards to all the conversation lately of the county purchasing and selling and leasing properties owned by the county, and maybe me threatening to sue over what has happened, I did further research, and commissioners, I found out statutes in Nevada require the county commissioners by ordinance to establish a list of certified appraisers that are to be used in most of these cases with very few exemptions. So it'd be more prudent for me to work on getting a new ordinance addressing this issue, you know, get it going. So I submit two pages to the county clerk to be attached to the agenda or the minutes of today's meeting. This is the county clerk's response that as of December 16th, signed by Vanessa Stevens, this time I'm unable to locate a Story County ordinance referring to a list of appraisers. So let's get the ball rolling on that one. Second, apparently, Committee on Local Government Finance, that's Department of Taxation, February 6th, 9 a.m., Public Utilities Commission, Story County is on the agenda, item number 5, Gold Hill and Virginia City conversion completed to become county special revenue funds. So Gold Hill and Virginia City funds are still funny, and it'll be talked about at the state level in a meeting. I resent the fact that a brewery is being built on C Street And this Friday, or this Thursday night, Planning Commission's going to just start talking about a micro brewery ordinance. So, you know, putting the brewery in before the ordinance is, it may not be illegal, but it bothered me. As far as the Planning Commission meeting being held on private property, you know, I'm not sure if the deed to that corner has been put in the county's name or in the name of the Tourism Commission, but right now that's still private property, and I don't think you can have a Planning Commission meeting on private property, Old Crystal Bar. And also recently I offered to get something to the commissioners, a resolution to give seniors a 10% discount on their sewer bills as well as their water bill. Story County Code allows by resolution to discuss fees and change them from time to time. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Cater.
Yes.
Come on up.
My name is Les Cater. I live out of Painted Rock. And I have not much to say. I just came up here mainly for this, to show Pat Whitten this receipt that I told about the history on the state of on Nevada and everything here. And I just thought Lance Gilman was going to be here today, and we could talk about the brothels, because they never have bothered me. I've been single since 92. I know where they're at, and if I need to participate, I know all about that too. And I've never had a problem with them, and I think they're just fine. I just don't understand this all the time, and they pay a tremendous amount of tax dollars in license fees. I know that for a fact, because I've talked to them about it. And if you don't mind, I got a big kick out of Joe Conforti when he was here. Now, nobody liked Joe Conforti. Everybody thought he was a big old jerk like me, which he was. But every time Christmas came around, I was in the meat business. He'd give one of my competitors 200 turkeys to give out. Every year, he gave out 200 turkeys. And I love this butcher. He used to say foul language when all the blacks come up in their Cadillacs and want their Christmas turkey. I used to get a little big laugh out of that. And then when there was somebody to donate blood donation and everything, let's call Joe and see how much he will donate to the blood campaign. But we don't want nothing to do with him, but we'll take his money. You know, amazing. So many hypocrites in this world. Absolutely. So, hey, thank you for letting me have my little bit of speech. And I want Mr. Whitten to see that. If you guys would like to see that, that's a nice piece of history there. Unfortunately, I've lost the letter somewhere.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Cater.
Thank you, Les.
Anyone else for public comment?
Mr. Cater.
Yes, sir.
You missed. The reason why Commissioner Gilman could not be here today was there was a family emergency at the last minute. So.
Yes, I just like to keep everybody happy and tell my part of the story.
Thank you.
Okay.
This is a regular person.
We appreciate that, Les.
Yes, thank you.
Any other public comment? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.